Our next speaker is Rita Burke, and Dr. Burke is assistant professor at Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. And it's great, we've got all this qualitative work in here today. So her presentation is a qualitative study of disaster preparedness and resiliency among faith-based organizations. So welcome, Dr. Burke.
Good afternoon, everyone. So some of the previous speakers and my colleagues talked about tapping into the resources in the existing networks that already exist in order to streamline that disaster preparedness and response. So that is what I'll be focusing on today. So I work in public health. I have no financial disclosures. So I think we're all too familiar with these pictures that we saw all over the news and on CNN, where people were on the roofs, holding up signs asking first responders and really anyone for help because they were stranded in their homes and they were on the roofs because that was really the only refuge they could seek. And working in disaster medicine, I think what struck us first was thinking, well, let's assume that they followed the CDC's and FEMA's directive and they had their supplies, their food, and their water for 72 hours, and yet they were still stranded. So obviously that did not work. And so since Hurricane Rita and Katrina, we've kind of moved from the 72-hour preparedness into the disaster and community resiliency. So as Paul has provided us with a definition, we define disaster resiliency as the capacity for a community to really bounce back from a disaster. They are not reliant on government. They are not reliant on any first responders or disaster relief organizations. They, as a community, are self-sufficient. So when you think about, okay, well, what makes a community, what can kind of streamline that process for a community to become self-reliant and create that resiliency, kind of think, well, okay, let's start thinking about what is the center of a community. And one of the answers is faith-based organizations. Now, the use of faith-based organizations for health is nothing new. This is really not a comprehensive list at all of the health-related issues that have been used, that have been really tapped into for faith-based organizations. Yesterday, I don't know if you were there, there was a talk about faith-based organizations, and one of the talks was they used faith-based organizations in Los Angeles to conduct HIV testing, which was a surprise that kind of taboo subject for faith-based organizations, but they were fairly open to that. And so this list really is to show the wide gamut of health topics that are used in faith-based organizations. So our conceptual framework was, we'll use faith-based organizations as the center of the community, together with all of their networks, because we know that faith-based organizations are typically very, very well networked, both in their community as well as with other FBOs. Take that in conjunction with their social capital. So, and I refer to social capital, it's kind of the Putnam definition of their social engagement, their trust of other people in their community, outside of their community, and how engaged are they, again, in their own community as well as outside of their community. And how do those two factors, the social capital, the networks, how is that going to factor on disaster resiliency? So to answer that question, we enrolled six churches, and again, I know six churches, it was a pilot study. So, and we had two phases of the study. The first was we administered a survey to a leader of the church, which was in this case the pastor, as well as a staff member in the church. And there were really four phases of the survey. So we wanted to collect information about congregation demographics, their involvement in the community, as well as public affairs, and their social behavior. And then we also conducted semi-structured interviews with both the leader of the church and the staff member. And the questions related in those interviews were about their disaster preparation as well as their readiness to manage disaster victims. So I'm just going to present a selected results from the survey. This question asked, how many times in the past 12 months has your house of worship done the following? And these are all questions related to community engagement and public affairs engagement. And as you can see, they're kind of in the middle. They're not heavily involved in their community, but they're also they hold these types of events at least more than once a year. The next question was, to the best of your knowledge, do members of your congregation, and these questions related to different levels of socialization among their community members inside of their congregation as well as outside of their congregation members. Here, all the churches were socialized very often with those both inside of their community and their congregation as well as outside of their congregation and community. And then the last survey question that I'm going to present is, how much do your the members of your congregation trust? And again, so this goes to the question that measures trust. And again, they're kind of in the middle. They not overall level of trust, but not too little either. Next, we looked at the structured interviews, the semi-structured interviews that we conducted with both a church leader and a staff member. And there were really five overall themes that emerged in our analysis. And I'll go through each one in a little bit more detail. So the first was the perceived disaster preparedness and resiliency. They admitted that they realized the importance of disaster preparedness. They had discussions about it, but then it just kind of stopped there. They had the discussions and nothing had ever taken place. And they knew they needed a disaster plan, but they were kind of lost as, well, how do we do a disaster plan? They didn't know the next steps to take. So they realized the importance, but they weren't really sure about the next steps to take. Another theme that really emerged, or a sub-theme that emerged, was there was this just overwhelmingly strong belief that, you know what, if something's going to happen, if there's going to be a disaster, our congregation members are going to come together, our community members are going to come together, they're going to help each other, and if there's a need to rebuild, that's going to happen. Next was the barriers to community preparedness and resiliency. So again, they realized the importance of disaster preparedness, of having a plan. The resources in order to achieve that was a huge barrier. So one pastor, for example, said, you know, if I have a leaky roof, or if I'm thinking about putting together a disaster kit or buying enough water for my congregation, the leaky roof is going to win out. Lessons learned from past disasters. All six of the churches had experienced past disasters in the past. One actually, they experienced the Northridge quake in 94. Their church was completely demolished, and they said it was actually cheaper for them to move to a different location than to rebuild the church, which is just what they did. So we had expected, especially that church, that they would at least have some plan or something in place. They did not. And they admitted, you know, we realized that it's something that you have to work through continuously. It's not something that, you know, you could just, it takes a moment to put together. It has to be done continuously and all throughout, but again, it was those barriers that they faced in order to do that. Social services and networks, and I think it was alluded to in some of the earlier presentations, they really are the benchmark of the community, and the services that they offer, anywhere from language services, food, water, job training, counseling, they really are a resource for the community, and they realize that, and they take great pride in that. Also, they are very well networked. All of the churches that participated in this study were part of a larger church network. So just as an aside, these were six churches in South Los Angeles. They were all Southern Baptist churches. So they all participated in a national Southern Baptist network. So very well networked, realized that could be a resource for the community, and they wanted to be a resource for the community. Willingness to be prepared. Again, they shared that they realized the importance of being prepared. There was a willingness to be prepared. They were open to it, but again, it was the resources that acted as the barrier. So we started to see that all of these themes were very, very closely related and that some acted as barriers to other themes that had emerged. Now, some of the limitations of the study. This was a pilot study. We only had six churches, so limited sample size. And because of that, there is limited generalizability. These were six churches that were in South Los Angeles. So the results that we observed here may not be generalizable to the rest of the U.S. population. So in summary and next steps, we observed that there was a low level of disaster preparedness among faith-based organizations. But there's a great potential there, and there's a willingness to become that system and that resource for the community. What would be interesting and we're working on is to develop measures that can be validated in other locations to identify areas that are amenable to interventions. And this is the group that worked on this study, and this was funded by a mini grant from the Emergency Network of Los Angeles. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
I was struck by the remark that the community thought they'd just be able to respond. And I just want to make a general comment about that. And I've heard many people say that resiliency is bouncing back. But in a way, some people have argued that it's really about preparation and that it's being able to maintain function. So this is going to date me, but it's be able to take a licking and keep on ticking. And so I think that attitude that they expressed is more the reactive one, and that
I completely agree. And it was funny because we're working in faith-based organizations, and there really was this faith that it'll all work out in the end. Mm-hmm. And so. So that's definitely one very strong component of religions in Los Angeles County. And we were interested in kind of the lower socioeconomic, kind of the lower resource churches, faith-based organizations there, because, Los Angeles is so widespread and there's such a diversity there. There was no way with this mini grant that we would be able to choose a completely representative sample. So instead we thought, okay, well, let's just choose one religion or one sector that we would focus on to kind of get a better grasp of what they have and how prepared they are, instead of choosing one church or six total churches in completely diverse religions that would really tell us nothing.
I was just wondering about the sort of implicit study design and approach at the beginning of acknowledging or taking for granted that everyone has sort of 72 hours planned of food or design in their homes, and looking more at if we take this for granted and then look at the church as a facilitator of that versus the opposite sort of way. I'm from rural Montana. We have Mormons in the community. Most people are not Mormon, but that approach is you always have prepared things, and that sort of led to the community members around us, and it's more the opposite relationship of both the Mormon church but now other churches and organizations around where it's implicit that everyone should have that individual preparation model, and then the church leads the opposite direction. Then they facilitate, because you're taking care of yourself, how those are accessed or used. So I just wonder about why you sort of modeled this or looked at it in the opposite direction.
You're absolutely right, but just to kind of as a point of further explanation. So part of community resiliency is you take care of yourself. And once, it's kind of like when we go on an airplane and they always say put on your mask first and then then you focus on other people. It's the same model. So focus on yourself first, make sure that you are prepared, and then you're able to be a resource for the community. But the faith-based, and there's a second part to the study that I didn't go into, was the education piece. So faith-based organizations, because they have such wide access to their congregation, so that really is a portal into their congregation and to educate them in order, and that's what we did, how you can prepare yourself. And once you are prepared, then you're able to be a resource to the community. And we actually told them during that education piece, if you have friends or fellow congregation members or neighbors that aren't here or aren't part of this church, you can act as a resource for them, kind of train the trainer. You've received that education. We expect you now to go and to educate your neighborhood.